A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, let's just get out of the way and let this man do his thing. The great Tim Lacombe, longtime BYU assistant coach, overall good dude, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
What's going on, you two guys? You, where are you today?
We're just hanging out here in studio.
We're hanging out with advanced windows.
Need those windows swapped out in your palatial estate down there in Utah County. They're the ones to get you squared away.
I told him to get Glass, who just got the ceramic variety right now, and he's a little airy during the wintertime, but keep saving up. We might be able to get there.
There you go.
Coach, how's our job placement going? We doing all right?
Oh, yeah. Things is very on are terrific. Got a lot of people out there looking for jobs. Got a lot of companies hiring. It's fun. It's an exciting time. The economy, obviously, a little topsy-turvy, but I think we're beyond the great resignation. I think people are starting to kind of look back for work, and Spherion's a good place.
Spherion Staffing and Recruiting, available for you online at spherion.com, spherion.com. And whether you're looking to find a job or you're looking to someone to, you know, help recruit for you, that's the place to go, spherion.com. All right, Coach, we got a lot to talk about. We got Jazz, we got NCAA tournament, but you and I talked earlier in the year, a couple months ago, about this team out of Orem in UVU, and my goodness, they are playing some tremendous basketball. How cool was that game last night?
It was amazing. We did Jazz, and I wish I could have been there, but we have the luxury now of a couple televisions up there in the studio at the Viv. And so we were able to watch the Jazz game and keep tabs on the UVU game at the same time. Huge win, you know, a team that's Cincinnati like BYU going into the Big 12 next year. So a huge win for UVU in a lot of ways. Gets to the Final Four, their first ESPN game from home. And so a lot of cool things that Mark Madsen's claiming the first of, and it's really exciting. I'll tell you what, man, I know a lot of people in this game. And Mark and I became friends the old-fashioned way. We were recruiting a young Caleb Lohner at the time. And he and I just started showing up in the same gyms. And I knew of him. And so we kind of started talking. And what an awesome guy. What you see is what you get. Very authentic, very just a good human being. And I love when good things happen to good people.
You watch that team play, and I know they've got some good leadership. They really move the ball around, seem to share extremely well. It's not like they feels like they've got the talent that a Cincinnati might have or some of these teams, Colorado might have. But, man, they play well together. Coach, is that something that you relate right back to the coach? Or is that the type of players that the coach brought in? How do you get that type of team play, playing inside of a system as consistently as they do?
Yeah, it's something that's coached. Obviously players have to gel and there has to be chemistry, but if sharing the ball and making the right basketball play is part of your culture and you constantly make sure that that's, you know, pointed out, and when it's not done, it's pointed out, I think, you know, you get a team that really does. They move the basketball great. They try to play on advantage. They've got a couple superstars, though, man. Trey Woodbury, that kid is really good. I recruited him to BYU. I tried to. The first time around, and he went to UNLV, his home, you know, he's from UNLV. Kind of an interesting note, his dad and I became really good buddies during that whole thing and stayed in touch. And about 3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks before Coach Rose decided to head to the hills, I got a call from Mr. Woodbury, and he said, hey,
here we go.
He wants to come to BYU. So we kind of started to get into the process, and unfortunately, you know, right there at the break, you know, I passed it on to the staff, but he was hell bent on coming. And I got a text from his dad late last night saying, hey, I just said, hey, he's as good as I thought he was. And he said, if you and Dave were there, you'd have been there. So just something that makes you feel bad, you know, that you couldn't have happen, but also pretty cool to see a kid. You know, he left a situation that wasn't great, went to a situation that, you know, was not sexy by any stretch, and he made it sexy. And I think that's what great players do.
But here's the thing, and we talked to Mark Madsen earlier in the week, and this is why I think your job as a coach can be really fulfilling and really just you want to rip your hair out, is you've got, you know, Trey Woodbury, who doesn't do much at UNLV, and you bring him in and people might think, oh, it's damaged goods. And then you got the Bandango kid, who I just absolutely love his game. And he's at Akron and languishing behind a guy that's getting all the minutes. And Mark Madsen told us on Monday, he's like, yeah, we did our research and we knew he was good. He was just behind a guy that they liked better at that time. So we took a flyer on him. And this kid's unreal. You got Tim Fuller, who started at Weber State, and now he's flourishing. I mean, you go through the list of... And I guess probably when you're at UVU, you have to look for those players that maybe other people have overlooked or didn't have the great success that they had somewhere else. And they brought together all these guys, and it's just absolutely flourished. But if you're, you know, yeah, if you're BYU or Utah, Utah State, you're like, why weren't we in on these guys? Why didn't we find these guys? And that can probably be maddening as a coach as well.
Yeah, Trey was worth the price of admission in AAU. I used to love to watch him play because he played just like he does now. Similar like if Hans was a basketball player. He doesn't back down from anybody. And, you know, he's going to get the last laugh. He's just a tough dude. I don't know if he balances tables on his chin. I don't know if he goes that far, but a lot of qualities for a guy, Hans.
But it'd pull the hair and bite you.
That's right. Dude, when you just greet me, it hurts. Like I've gone, you know, because we're beyond the handshake, we're into the bro hug, but it's more the bro, like, accostment. I feel like I should file a suit every time you do, I see you.
The bro accostment. That's got to be.
Bro accostment. Here we go. You bro cost me.
Hey, when you look at a Final Four appearance in the NIT, how impressive is that? Like, regardless of it being UVU, if it was BYU or Utah or anybody, making it to the Final Four of the NIT, how impressive is that?
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, it's the Final Four. You had to win a couple games to get there. Granted, you know, it's a unique tournament because typically the teams that are on the higher seed lines, you know, part of their deal is motivation. Do they really want to be there? I can speak from our experience. You know, we went twice to the Final Four of the NIT. Once we had to win a game at Southern Miss, and it was like UVU last night. It was sold out. It was such a cool environment. And there was not much blue in the place, but if I recall, Brock Zylstra went ham. I think he made 4 or 5 threes that night. And we got through and won that game, and we got to New York. It was so cool. We got to go play in Madison Square Garden and stay at the Marriott Marquis. They have a really cool dinner prior in, this was all in New York, but in Central Park, where they take your buses in and you have a little meal in a place there. So I don't know how it'll be in Vegas, but I will just say it's an accomplishment. It's not, you know, people ask me all the time, would you rather get to the NCAA tournament and lose in the first round or go to the Final Four of the NIT? I would take the NCAA tournament every single time, because that's what you're playing for. That's what, you know, that's what you're bred to do. But it's not a bad way to finish a great season that they've had, 28 wins. Madsen's won 48 in his last 2 years, guys, and beat five Power Five schools, you know, now counting BYU now as a Power Five, on their home court. So it's been a magical little bit of a run down there, and they deserve to have some really good things. Tough deal in their conference tournament. Tough way for that to go down. But what a cool, resilient group. And again, probably shows you how good Madsen is because he was able to pick them up off the mat.
Do you think that with the transfer portal and kind of a redistribution of talent, that we'll see more of these 16-15 upsets in the NCAA tournament?
It seems that way. You know, I was talking with Jake and DJ the other night, although I should say DJ was talking to us.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know that thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Sorry, Deej. I'm just kidding. I don't know, you hate that name too.
You're not wrong. But.
Yeah. Anyway, so DJ was talking to us, and then I was able to get in a sentence. And I said something to the effect that, but it really hit me watching the FDU game, like the upper crust. And I mean, and make no bones about it. I mean, Pope got on this week and he talked about how aggressive they're going to be in the portal. That is everybody's tact. Nobody's saying, I want to go recruit high school kids. Nobody's saying, hey, I want to go get kids that are good and I want to make them better. Everybody now is sold on, I'm going to go get as close to a finished product as I can because I can. And I don't know, you know, I think time will tell, but what we're seeing is that culture does matter. You know, guys hanging around and playing together, getting familiar with one another. And that's one thing that I think smaller schools will be able to have if they can, you know, survive getting poached on their really high-end players. But culture matters. And I think it's why I've been so impressed with what the Jazz have done this year. Could never see them tanking. Too much value in the journey. And I think it could become a thing based on that, Scotty.
So, Coach, we were talking with Jonathan Tavernari a little bit earlier in the show today.
Who? And
Jonathan Tavernari, the guy that you
don't know.
Might remember.
Yeah.
Is
he the dude that talks a lot?
Yeah.
Shot a lot of threes and talks a lot.
Yeah. Okay. What did he do more? Talk more or shoot more?
I will tell you this much. You guys will dig it. Coach Rose put him on a couple of different restrictions at all time. One day we're watching a film, and he turned it over, and Coach said, all right, Jonathan, you're on, shall I tell you, you're on a dribble restriction. You can take one dribble to relocate your feet and shoot it or pass it, but you can't dribble more than once. Because bad things happen when you dribble. And then the other thing, he got a little, you know, Jonathan's a talkative dude. He's much like me. And so he got put on media restriction.
Oh.
So he could not, for a period of time, could not talk to the media either because he was just, you know, that was our way of trying to say, look, dude, you got to just keep it, you know, less is more, JT.
Well, they
muscle. In all honesty, one of the great young men.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like my daughter was in third grade and idolized the guys on the team. And he found out she had a play at school. And unbeknownst to me, we're in there. You know, I scramble over after practice. And lo and behold, JT comes in, sits with us, and watches it because he wanted to be there for her.
That's
the kind of kid he is.
Gosh, I love that guy.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
But he was mentioning just some of the talent that BYU's picking up. He said, I feel like there's not as high-end talent that are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And instead of going after those members, really get away from that and go after the non-member talent, he felt like that might be one way to go about it. How much at BYU can you get away from recruiting members and having members be the base of that basketball team?
Well, I think it's kind of how it's always been, but I don't know that that's the way it always has to be. You know, I think that that's what's unique about this time and place we're in now. I think if you kept doing things exactly the same, you have, you know, forever, you've got to be able to make some changes. And there's some advantages now. You know, you can incorporate some pay, and you know, in the community, it really is going to depend on how much BYU wants to dive into that pool. And I just, you know, from my experience there, I can't see that that's going to be a whole lot, but maybe I'd be surprised. I can just speak to what, you know, if you look at the best teams over time at BYU, and really there's the Stan Watts teams that were amazing. Frank Arnold, you know, and Roger and Liddell had teams through there that were good during those times. I think the memorable team would be Ainge's, you know, the coast to coast against Notre Dame. And you look at the makeup of that team, predominantly LDS kids with a couple of dudes mixed in that aren't, but have a connection, understand the deal, and can live within the context or the confines of the situation. I think you go to our team with Jimmer, and because I think that's how far you got to jump. I mean, if you're looking at pillars, and there's a lot of good players in there, and we're jumping pros, and we're jumping Travis Hansen. Dude never won a game in the NCAA tournament, but those teams were great. So you jump to ours, and you know, our team, same deal. We had predominantly LDS kids, you know, high level ones that we worked really hard to try to get. First of all, I don't know that, you know, Noah Hartsock wasn't like a five-star recruit, but I think by the time he left, everybody in the country would have taken him. And that's what we tried to do, whether they be LDS or not, is get a cohesive group that wanted to be at BYU and wanted to make a difference and wanted to get better. And so I think regardless, I think that's what you've got to figure out a way to get that, because those are the proven teams, you know. Everything else was, hey, we got close, but you're doing data points on what actually transpired and people that moved the narrative forward. It was those groups.
So Jazz lose last night to Portland, and after beating Boston and Sacramento, that means that after losing to Portland, they'll probably beat Milwaukee by 20, right?
It makes no sense to me. We joked about it last night in the pre with Mike Smith, who is awesome, by the way. I love Mike Smith and Jake. It's so fun to work with those guys. But we joked, like, yeah, watch the Jazz lose tonight. And, yeah, it was strange. But I do feel like more than anything, against the Celtics and the Kings, the Jazz were really high octane from an energy standpoint. And last night seemed just a little bit, I don't know, step slow, and not effort-wise, but just more. This didn't seem to have it. I mean, I think there are nights like that in the NBA.
Out of the top five teams currently in the NBA, how many of them are in the East?
Wow, man. Hold on a minute. I don't want to do this without something to look at. So obviously, I'd say that Milwaukee is Milwaukee your guys' favorite to win it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Olvia.
Yep. Yep.
Boston. So I think you got two there. 76ers.
One caveat I'd like to throw in, having Kevin Durant available for postseason.
Saying he will be, you say?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say three.
So Milwaukee, Boston, and Philly, and then you'd go, what, Denver and Phoenix, or?
I'd probably go Denver. And, I got to watch Memphis for 10 more games and see what's going on. Because I think since Ja went out, I think everybody stopped talking about him, but they're still 45-27.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 7 out of their last 10. And they're talented. You know, they got what's probably the defense player of the year in Jackson. So I would say probably, I would probably stay to form. I'd probably go Denver. I'd probably go Denver, and I'm not – I got to see the Suns do their thing, so I'm actually going to put Memphis in that spot.
Hmm.
On this day, March the 23rd, 2023, let it be known that I foresee a Golden State Warriors-Milwaukee Bucks finals.
Wow. We were talking about that last night, actually, just kind of who the matchups could be. And it is interesting. You would think that the cream rises to the top. You would think that experience will be really vital here. I'm looking at the standings right now, and between 4 and 12, it's a matter of 3 games. It's crazy. I've just never seen it this bunched up. So, if somebody needs to rise up and kind of be the team. And, I can see it. Some things have got to click, though, for them. But that's what makes this playoff so intriguing. First of all, the East has never really been better than the West, generally. And, so there's a lot of things we'll stay up late watching basketball in the spring here.
Well, and usually the NBA isn't too keen on parity, and you actually have it to a certain extent. And I think that's what's going to make the playoffs a lot of fun, too, because I'm
exactly.
I mean, I don't know if I'm not going out on a limb like Hans, but I'll also say I'm not betting against Golden State, that's for sure. And so
let's just go ahead. Let's join, and Lloyd can write these down, and we can revisit it. That's what we do on this show. So you say Golden State, Milwaukee. Who do you got, Scott? You're throwing two names out there.
You know what? I'm gonna go a healthy Kevin Durant. I'm gonna go Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Okay. Phoenix and Bucks. Lloyd, who you got? NBA Finals. I'm going Golden State.
He's like, I was just ordering my pizza.
Yeah, he's heating up his noodles.
Knee deep in noodles over there.
Yeah. I got my Tino's over here.
Go Milwaukee.
Golden State and Bucks. You've got Bucks and who? Lloyd?
And Suns.
Bucks and Suns.
All right. Well, you're going to go Bucks and Suns?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I got to mix mine up then.
Is that where you're going to go?
That's what I did.
Oh, sorry.
No, you didn't. You said Bucks Warriors.
No,
I
had
Bucks Suns.
You guys can still be Bucks Suns. I mean, there's not that many.
You know what? Give me Boston. I'll go Boston, Phoenix.
Okay.
So you got Boston. Coach, what do you got?
I'm going to go Boston, Memphis.
Boston.
Wow.
Memphis coming out of the West.
That'd be quite the redemption story for Ja.
I know it's crazy, but I'm crazy.
I love it.
Like you said, Scotty, I always like, hey, I want the plus 210. I want that. That's the most exciting
result.
Not the minus 130. Give me the plus 210.
Love it.
Before I chisel this into stone, can you shed some light on the Wiggins situation for us, Coach? What's going on?
Minnesota Wiggins or Andrew Wiggins?
Whichever one you know the most about.
You guys remember the Tim Conway show or Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Wiggins?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was it. Just trying to play on that. I don't know much about it. I have not been properly updated on Wiggins, so I wouldn't be a great source.
All right.
I can tell you a lot about Lauri Markkanen, but I'm not great on
Wiggins.
He's just in an absence, yeah? He's just kind of taking a break.
Personal issue.
And I know when that happens, all people take all this pot shots and everything else, which sucks.
Teammates had to come forward and be like, if you guys really knew what he was dealing with, you'd all keep your mouth shut.
Which only makes people speculate even more.
Because there were a lot of rumors and speculation, and everybody's like, you guys are so far off. You're making yourself sound really stupid, and what he's really dealing with is pretty serious. So,
It's sad. I mean, obviously, in this situation, hope for the best. He's a huge piece and would certainly make it a lot better for you, right, with your pick.
Yeah. He'll be back. I believe he'll be back.
Yeah. But, yeah, don't know much about it. I'll dig into it.
Coach, you're the best. We appreciate it, and look forward to catching up again next week.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, thank you guys so much. See you.
The great Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.